So this is our fourth and final week studying Paul, going through Philippians. And after this, you can get back to your regularly scheduled program of the other Dave. So for those that, most of you have been here at least a few of the weeks, but those, I know there's at least two families here who haven't been. We're going through Paul one chapter at a time, and I kind of made it sound like we're going on a hike together. And when you go on a hike together, your job is to stick with the pack. So in our journey through Paul, your job is to read through Philippians. And so hopefully you've been doing that. Today I'm going to allocate more time for you guys to participate. I'm kind of thinking we're on holiday mode. So I'm going to be a little bit, quite a bit, light on the theory this week. You know, we've kind of dug deep into it and a little bit more on the practicing. So this is going to be audience participation week, so I'm hoping you can participate. And just to let you know ahead of time what that might be, going to have some time to pray. So I'll be looking for a couple people to lead in prayer. So if you feel like you're a prayer warrior, you need that. And then if you've had anything to share of your study, you can share that. And then, of course, everyone can pray. So when we pray, just because you're not the one leading the prayer, hopefully everyone can pray together. So audience participation this week. So what have we been doing in Paul? We want a new mind, talked about a new mind. We want a new heart and new courage. And so it's our like Wizard of Paul theme that we've got, knowing that we can't produce these things in ourselves. It sounds good to have a new heart, sounds good to have a new mind, sounds good to have new courage. So how do we get that? We need vision in order to get that. We need that vision to come from God. So it's something that we can't provide for ourselves. It's not just working harder. We need God to intervene to give us those new things. So here's just a quick summary of some of the things that we've seen. We took a quick detour because Philippians is really all about the church and how Paul talked with the church. And so we just took an example of how Paul talked to the non-believers. And kind of the theme there was he really found common ground with the non-believers and took them from where they were at and then led them to the gospel. And so here's an example where, you know, Paul took time, he passed along, he observed, saw what was going on, and then he noticed that there's an inscription and started and said, okay, it says to an unknown God. And then he realized that they were worshiping a God. They just didn't know who it was. So he found out where they're at and then took them to that next level and then proclaimed the gospel to them. So that was just an example Paul gave us of how to interact with non-believers. And then within Philippians itself, Paul's kind of life statement, at least I think it's his life statement, is for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. If we can have that perspective and actually live it, it sounds easy, sounds short, sounds succinct, but it's more difficult to do in real life, but it's a great goal to have to keep the eternity in mind. And then with that, you know, have your mind among yourself, which is Christ Jesus. And that was the idea that Christ Jesus was a servant. And so he emptied himself, became a servant, and then God highly exalted him. And so if we're going to have this new mind, this new heart, new courage, it begins and ends with being a servant. And so if we're not thinking in terms of servanthood, then we're missing the point. And then in chapter 3, whatever gain I had, he had counted as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. So many things that we try to achieve in this life from a worldly perspective, Paul was saying he is counting that as rubbish and that compared to knowing Christ. And so it's not knowledge of facts, it's knowledge of a person. And so he talked about the value of knowing that relationship with the person. And then he, in chapter 3, also talked about the goal of believers, but maybe more important than the goal is actually how do you get there? And that goal was to have a process. And so one of the processes he said was to imitate me. So Paul said, imitate me to help reach that goal. And then the challenge for us then is, who are we imitating? Do we have people that we can find that we can imitate? Or are we challenging others to imitate? Or do we feel like we're at a point we could ask others to imitate us? And that's always a difficult thing, because we probably never feel like we're 100% there. You know, we've always got things that we can work on, but that doesn't mean we can't be a role model to others. So there's the first three chapters, and hopefully you guys glean something from it and can share it with us later. Chapter four, I'm going to hit kind of quick and short, so we have time to kind of do things together. And I'm going to have Abby read the first eight verses of chapter four. So Abby, you want to read those, please? All right, and I'm just going to read the last one. What have you learned and received and heard and seen in me? Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So, again, this is just filled with so much. And I'm going to mainly focus on the first verse. I can still remember when I was in college, I went to a retreat, and we actually went through kind of Philippians, similar to what I'm doing here, and we had a guy coming to speak, and he spent one whole, like, hour talking about the first verse. And I still remember to this day many things he talked about, and so I guess I figured if he could share some things from that verse that I remembered, maybe you'll be able to remember a few of the things from here, because it's one of those verses that it's easy to pass over, because it's, you know, the last verses are the ones that really capture my attention. You know, whatever is pure, whatever is honorable, think about these things, very action-oriented, very clear, concrete, good biblical concepts. The first part of it, I just kind of glide over. I don't really pay much attention to, because it seems like it's not the main point, it's getting to the main point, but there really is a lot packed into that one verse there, and I just kind of want to take a little bit of time to unpack what's there. And so first he's talking about the brothers, and so the idea there is that Paul's considering the churches, the believers, as family. And that's nothing new. You know, we know that that's the concept, but let's not forget that, if we don't have people in the faith that we feel like are like brothers and sisters to us, then I don't think we've kind of gone to that depth of relationships that is available to us, that God wants for us, is that we can have people who aren't family that feel like family. And so, that's just a wonderful thing, because, who wouldn't want more brothers and sisters? That's a good thing, right? Brothers and sisters. And then the next one, who I love and long for. To me, that's begging a lot of questions. And I put up there, what do you love? What do you long for? And I'm hoping as you think about that, that changes really to who do you love and who do you long for. But I know we were all tempted, though, to still love other things before people. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying things. And, you know, what I'm saying is that those things are part of life. It's good. But in the, you know, if we're going to rank things, if we don't have people that we're loving, people that we're longing for, then I think we're missing the boat. And so it's good to take inventory of your lives. Do you have people you love for? Do you have people you long for? And I think the older you get, that question should be more yeses than noes, because that kind of indicates what we're investing our time in. If we're not investing our time with people, then then that should be revealed to us that we are not putting our time where they're at. And then you can appreciate and realize this is a God thing. You know, if you're missing someone, that's a God thing. And that this is what Paul, you know, he invested in all these churches and went and visited. And then when he wasn't there, you know, right now he's in prison. He's missing them. And I'm sure you probably have people that you've missed. And that's a God thing. The next one is kind of my favorite. What is your joy and crown? What is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? What motivates you? What do you consider your joy? What is it crown? And in God's kingdom, it's about people and it's about investing. And often it's not like really fancy things or sophisticated things. It's simple things. And, you know, it starts with probably if you have kids, you know, are you making them your joy and your crown? And then it expands, you know, from there. But there's always, you know, just don't overthink this. You know, if you don't feel like you have joys and crowns in your life, don't make this a difficult question. And, you know, just think about who's in your life already. God has put you where you're at for a reason. And it's not an accident you're with the family you're at, with the neighbors you're at, with the job you're at. Those things are all God-planned things. And just kind of look at that. God will bring those people to you and then see how you can, you know, have joys in your life and how you have crowns. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people in here that are at my age and older and are tremendous examples of investing in people's lives. And, you know, I look at them as examples in here of people that, you know, I can just see that are always, you know, kind of magnets for people. And I'm not necessarily a magnet for people, but, you know, I see the value of it. So, I feel like I have to kind of go outside of my comfort zone maybe to do that. There's many of them people in this body. And so, you know, look for them. And I'm not embarrassed by, you know, calling names out, but I think you all know who they are. When we bring in visitors, you know, someone else is always there. And, you know, they're just magnet for people. Because they just have that ability and interest in joys and crowns in their lives. And I don't think you get joys and crowns from meeting people on a Sunday. You know, that's not it. It's in the day-to-day. It's in the hardships of life. And that's where you develop those deep relationships. And so, but it starts with, you know, you have to get to know people. So I feel blessed by the many wonderful examples we've got here. And then, of course, all this is in standing firm in the Lord. You know, it doesn't matter to have a joy and crown if it's not for the Lord. You know, we're not looking for crowns of some sporting event. We're looking for kingdom crowns. And so hopefully the heart is there that these are kingdom goals. Then at the very end, those are just really... you know, I think this is if we wake up in the morning and think about, you know, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure. If we have that as a filter in our lives to filter out other things, that would be a great way to choose what we invest our time in. So what are you thinking and what are you practicing? So those are some real practical things for you to think about. And so speaking of practical things, I know we're kind of talking about lofty ideas. So I want to kind of bring it home to maybe some specific examples. I'm going to give one for my own life, and then I'm going to, give an opportunity to people to pray for others. And I really didn't plan for this. It just kind of happened. I think God happened it. But I know I've got some guests here, and I'm going to embarrass one of them here because they're here and they're on this next slide. But I've got friends of mine from Nashville, and we were at a wedding last week. And so there's eight of us there. It doesn't show up real good here, but so there's four guys, four gals. And the four of us guys, we call ourselves the A-team. And we've been meeting together since, I don't know, 25 years ago or so. We all start out as actuaries, and then the guy on the left there, then he became a pastor, and so he, for some reason, decided to leave the actuarial world. Never can imagine that, but became a pastor. And believe it or not, we actually get together, and four actuaries, we do have fun. And I imagine you guys only couldn't even think about how much fun we have, but you're not invited to these trips, so don't get any wild ideas. Anyway, so we've had, you know, again, these are Mike lives in Nashville. I actually see probably Mike more than any of them, but when I'm not with these guys, I definitely long to be with them. I long to be with their families. We've invested in them, it's been a lifelong journey together. I mentioned last week a gal who had stage 4 cancer, and so that's Brian's wife right there. So, it's a reminder of how short life is. And because they're my age, so I'm 53, and he's 53, and she's, I think, the same age. And they've invested, you know, he left a good business, felt called to become a pastor, and, you know, never, you know, he's one of those guys that's so passionate about the Word. And so whenever we get together, he just, you know, the Word just comes to life because he's always talking about scriptures, and it's really cool. It's been neat because his background is kind of different too. He came from a kind of like a Mormon background, and she came like from a Catholic background. And he was very involved with FCA and really had a passion for Christ. And their, you know, long story short, their marriage was kind of, you know, it's kind of an odd combination. But they decided finally that, you know, they just wanted to start fresh. So then they left their backgrounds as far as their churches, and then started coming to, I don't even know what it was, but just more of a traditional church background. And then at that point, their spirituality then even went to another level, and it's been neat to see all that. But they've been investing in, you know, God's kingdom ever since then. And then when they found tragedy strikes, or so-called tragedy, it wasn't a change that they had to do to start thinking about, you know, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. She had already been experiencing that and believing that and living that. Not that it was easy to go through this, but when you visit with her, you know, she's not looking for sympathy. She's not thinking about woe is me. She's seeing the blessings in it. And, you know, Brian, he's always telling us, you know, we're going to die someday. That was always his joke when we're together. But, you know, now he said, you know, I'm living now like, you know, we always should be living, you know, that the day is near. And so it's just been a good example for us to see that. So we got together and we just took that picture. And I happened to post on Facebook, which that's kind of an unusual thing for me to do, is post something on Facebook. But, you know, it meant a lot to me. And so I thought, well, you know how it is. You take a picture, and it's like, it just means a lot to you. You got to do something. And so I just post on Facebook, you know, realize that no one's really going to understand the meaning of this and appreciate it like I do, but that's okay. I had to do something because it's like, I thought it was really cool. So, but then ironically, I went and checked later, and it's like, I don't know, tons of likes. And it's like, you know, I know the young people, that's no big deal, right? You know, put a picture, other ones like it. But for me, it was kind of like, you know, how can all these people like this picture? They don't even know these people. And so, curiosity, I went through and looked at all these people. And a lot of them are from, like, high school. It's like, when I was in high school, they never gave me the time of day. And now, 35 years later, they're liking the picture of no one they even know. So it's not making any sense to me. But it's all good. It's all good. Here's the message, one of the messages. Hopefully you got a message or two out of the story. But common ground. This is how I see a modern day common ground example. Our culture is filled with friends and likes. Okay? So that's the common ground of our culture. That's good. We like friends and we like likes. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, it's not going to go, that only goes so deep, okay? What we're talking about here is joys and crowns. That's at another level of depth. And so you may have friends that can understand friends and likes. You have an opportunity to tell them, you know, if you want something more than friends and likes, we can talk about joys and crowns. And I've experienced joys and crowns in my life that gives life more meaning. And so that's just an example of, you know, how we can try to start with our culture, where we're at, and then bring in the gospel to it. But if all starts, of course, we have to be living it. We can't just manufacture that and, you know, theoretically talks about joys and crowns if we're not living those things ourselves. So that was something that I kind of thought through as far as, you know, something that I was, you know, first puzzled and kind of intrigued by. I thought it was kind of odd that these people that I hardly even knew when I was with them now are interested in making comments about people they don't even know. Yes. Yeah, that is very true. That a good friend of mine told me that so often when we speak, we're speaking into a megaphone. And so I think that as believers, that is true, and we don't know it. And as a result, I know for me, I've been, when the magnifying glass gets bigger and things, you know, come into focus a little bit more, you realize that there's some blemishes that you may not have seen before you were looking at things. And so that encourages us to go to that next level of, I think, of accountability, because others know that. So that's a good point. So what I would like to do is I'd like to pray for three groups of people here that I think within our fellowship that are really focused on, who have invested lives in joys and crowns. And I just thought of three. There's many others. You know, our body is nice in that it's very fluid. It's not formal. What we focus on is not what happens within these four walls. And so that's the focus. But sometimes we forget, though, things that that have been happening. And so I just want to take a moment and do that. And the first group I want to pray for is mothers. And I know it's not Mother's Day, which is the reason why I want to pray for mothers. Because if it was Mother's Day, it almost seemed like we're doing it because of Mother's Day. But think about mothers and how they invest and how they can. God has designed them to be that front row of leading that next generation and building joys and crowns. And, you know, there's a mystery to motherhood that I'll never understand, but they've got that automatic bond with them. And that's a God thing, and we need to embrace that as believers, because it's the starting point, I think, of building the kingdom. So I don't know if anyone feels led. I didn't plan this out. I wanted the Spirit to have its way to movement. And if no one wants to volunteer, but does anyone feel led to pray for the mothers? Dennis, do you want to do that? Thanks.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, the second group I want to pray for, you're talking about vision. I think we take for granted so much of the the foundation has been laid. And so I think of, and at least in my mind, the forefathers of, forefathers makes it sound like Abraham and Isaac, but of Fox Creek. And so I think of Dave and Dennis and Tim and Jerry, who really have been investing in this fellowship for, 30 probably plus years. Just pray. I'd like to have someone pray for them, for what God, can do, however you feel you want to pray for them, that, there are examples that we can look at that have set out crowns of joy for us to experience. So does anyone want to pray for those four men of our fellowship? Thanks, John. And then the last group, if I was, I guess, the enemy, and if I was trying to think like the enemy, one of the places I think I would try to come in at is almost like the back door into a fellowship, and that would be through the wives of the elders. We've got 9 elders and 8 wives, and I know the 8 wives, and they're godly women that have been around the fellowship for a long time that are just wonderful examples of what it means to be a godly woman and support, and I couldn't have asked for more encouragement from the wives. And I know they're not, and they're in the background, but that doesn't mean that they're the enemy can't come in through the back way. And so if anyone want to feel like lean to pray for the wives of the elders, I would be looking for. And I'll be glad to do this because I'm passionate about that. All right, Lord, thank you for the wives of the elders. And Lord, we We know that there's so much, Lord, that you do when you build a church, and so much chemistry that's there, and so many human things that go on. And if the wives are not following your ways, Lord, things crumble real quickly. And Lord, I just pray that you will continue to bless them, give them insight. I know they want to hear your voice. They want to follow you. And Lord, I just pray that you will speak to them clearly and give them insights as to what what it means for them in particular to follow in your footsteps. And Lord, I just pray that you'll give them encouragement as they have been so supportive for so many years, that they will not lose heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, what have you guys learned from Philippians? Anything in particular from our journey together? We've had a lot of questions. Has God opened up new hearts to you, new minds? Have you found new courage? Now's your chance to share that. Doesn't have to be anything complicated. Yeah. Yeah. And that's like a lofty standard that we can't ever reach, but it's nice to know that's what we really are supposed to try to reach for. And, that's something we can all understand, but achieving it, it doesn't get any easier as you get older to achieve that. That's a wonderful goal. Thanks for sharing that. All right. Well, that was a great start. Anyone else have anything that... Jesse.